Home of NARC Troopers. This is a website you can visit, NARC Troopers, where you can find podcast, video vlog. You can find articles from Medium and other places, copies of my book, availability for therapy sessions, and a lot of other resources that will help you on your recovery journey. So take a look at NARC Troopers. Visit me there. I am here for you. I know the way. I can lead you. Today's topic is how does psychology and energy work intersect with trauma recovery? And when I say energy work, I'm talking about light workers who will do healings and maybe exorcisms and upcharge your light. Clean your chakras, align them, get your energy flow going. And this could be Reiki, acupuncture, actual working with providers who do that kind of thing. It could be takes on many shapes and forms. How does that pair with psychology and conventional, traditional therapy? Let me begin by saying, first of all, that when you go to a therapist following a relationship with a narcissist, a lot of times they are ill-equipped and unaware of what narcissism actually entails and what recovery from it is comprised of. They have not had that experience, and maybe their focus is on something else. Just because they have a license or some certification or even a MD, PhD, does not mean that they are equipped to help you with your recovery from a narcissistically disordered person. So it's a specific niche of treatment of psychology that focuses and just zooms in on that one very narrow area that it, and it's very different from any other kind of recovery. It's different from prolonged grief disorder. It's different from depression and things like that. It's different from just sadness and loss and grieving the death of a relationship. It's different from anything that happens in a normal relationship. It's very different. So let me begin by saying, that when you have to rise up after getting knocked down, it's common to reach out for help, right? To get back on your feet. And many times, the unsuspecting victim of this brutal discard, which is the final stage of narcissistic abuse that you experience, is going to be confused. It's like you're not going to understand, like, what is happening to me? I'm having symptoms of PTSD and panic disorder, and I'm shaking and I'm hyperventilating, and my body feels weird, and I'm having cognitive dissonance and I can't breathe, and you have this onslaught of stuff, and it's confusing. It's like, am I dying? Am I crazy? Like, what has happened here? And it's important to you in your recovery to understand what has happened. There are two main aspects, or avenues, I will say, that will transport you out of this dungeon of horrors and back into the world of the living. Traditional medicine is in the form of therapy and medication, and all of that is one way to go. And then a less conventional approach would be the energy work, like cord cutting, soul retrieval, quanta healing, known as integrative medicine or alternative medicine sometimes. From my research and from my personal experience these past 3 years, you would most likely benefit from just a combination of both of them. It's not an either or. I think you need the full buffet treatment when it comes to designing your recovery path. You need support from different things. And, you can just sprinkle it in with a heavy dose of self-love, prayer, faith, hope, inner child work, inner wounding, childhood trauma work. All of that stuff is also in the mix. And when you put that all together, you have a powerful plan to live past this horrific experience that is it's lethal and not to be underestimated what it can do to you. So let's talk about traditional medicine first, like treatment with conventional methods, therapy, and or medication. And traditional medicine is a strong proponent of medication, is a typical go-to remedy. And one of the most important things to remember is that not all therapists are created equally. And some of them may say they're trained as narcissistic abuse interventionists, but they really aren't. Maybe it was a couple of chapters in a psych book back in college, but they really don't get it. I think it's important to find one that has a deep understanding of what you're dealing with because, it's not textbook. It's something else that you have to deal with. And I just want to say, I think that they can do more harm than good with their good intentions and their generic dispensation of advice, which is counterproductive, could be even sabotaging your recovery because it doesn't fit narcissistic abuse recovery. It's not a one size fits all when a relationship disintegrates. It depends on who you had that relationship with and what happened during that relationship during that time. So, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I, for one, have encountered numerous mental health professionals who had no idea what was going on with me or had no idea what even a person with narcissistic personality disorder is or what they do or the different kinds and how they look very differently depending on what kind they are and stuff like that, They try to dole out some generic grief counseling or divorce therapy, that really is not designed to address the specific challenges that those of us face who are just coming out of a shared fantasy or mutual psychosis with a long-term partner who was a narcissist. Medication is also another tool of Western medicine, traditional medicine, that is supposed to cure everything. I think Big Pharma must love the business of PTSD and trauma since they have, after you've been discarded or left these relationships, because you may have acute panic attacks and you may have anxiety and, all a number of different problems. And they have, part of the problem is you have dysregulated brain chemicals, with the cortisol kicking in, telling you that you're in danger and that you have to be hypervigilant and on point because you're getting ready to get eaten by a predator or something. And so they're going to be eager to, put out the Ambien and the Prozac and the Trintellix and the Xanax and whatever cocktail of drugs to calm you and to get you to sleep and to get you to wake and to make you feel happy and make you feel calm. And, that is, I just don't think that's the way. I really don't. It's like, let me give you an example. I went through natural childbirth three times, and each time, there were parts, I got to places where I needed just a smidgen of help. I didn't get an epidural. I didn't get any kind of like big, whatever, blocks, nerve blocks or whatever. just one little shot of Demerol or something to take the edge off. Let me stay on top of the breathing and the focusing and the pain and all of that. And I think that that's kind of what I would compare this to. If you need to carry some like benzos, like benzodiazepam, anxiety management medication, like I carry Klonopin with me wherever I go. And when I get triggered and slammed by some absolutely horrific panic attack, I microdose. I'll start out with a quarter of a tab and then maybe a half. And if it takes 8 minutes for it to enter your bloodstream. So in 7 or 8 minutes, if you're not feeling like you're managing your panic attack, then take a little bit more and just keep going until, you've reached the part where, you can get through it. But you don't take it every day. Sometimes, now, 2 or 3 times a month is all I need. There was a time when it was 2 or 3 times a day, and it's been 3 years. So, you do get better and there is progress, but even after a long period of time, you could still have things that set you off. I had that today. And I couldn't explain why. I couldn't put my finger on what it was exactly that caused the anxiety. I didn't take anything. I've learned to grab it and redirect my focus and to manage it without taking anything. And that works most of the time. And I hope that the same will be true for you. I don't think it should be a crutch. In the beginning, I microdosed the Klonopin like every hour and a half, like a quarter or a half of a tab, like 3 or 4 milligrams, all day as I was working, so that I'm a teacher. I had to stand in front of a classroom. There's no way I could have done that for the whole first year if I had not had the help of something to take small little doses to regulate my mood and my emotions during the day. But it got better, and then you wean yourself. So I guess what I'm saying is just taking a daily regimen where they say every day wake up and take this, and every night take that. There's side effects. There's addiction. There's like spackling over the yuckiness so that you never deal with it. You're just slapping a Band-Aid on it. And I think it can interfere with recovery. So only as a last resort, or only as a little something just to take that edge off so that you can have the space to manage, to learn to manage yourself ultimately as your goal. I would say that's kind of what you need to go for, instead of just jumping on the wagon and saying, yeah, give me all the everything you got, because I feel crappy. So the brain has a lot of trouble after this, and SRI blockers are a popular solution, as are pharmaceuticals, that they may give you, but you're trying to calm your parasympathetic nervous system. And the panic attacks, if they're so severe that you can't get a handle on them, then you do what you need to do. But I think that eventually we have to face our grief and anger and all of those feelings. We just have to sit with them, and we have to do that. And you can't really do that if you're medicated. Not really. Not effectively. So the goal is to get through a day without medication, and to be prepared though for when you do need something. So that's my 2 cents on traditional therapy and medication and treatment for this recovery process following one of these relationships with a mentally ill person like this. So let's talk about the unconventional route, the alternative medicine route to recovery. There's quantum healing is a pseudoscience, pseudo half science, that combines the ideas based on quantum mechanics, psychology, philosophy, and neurophysiology. Advocates of quantum healing, and this is like whatever you have within, you bring to you from without, which in theory is a most excellent idea. Kind of meshes with the whole manifesting thing, which I think you, is true in theory, but you have to really watch that. There are a number of various quantum ideas, including wave particle quality, virtual particles, and most importantly, energy and vibrations. I know that sounds like heavy stuff, but I'm convinced that combined with other treatment modalities, that it is useful. It just can't be the only thing, I don't think. At least with my clients, I recommend that they do a random sampling of different things that they put together to create their own treatment plan and not just go with one thing and put all their eggs in one basket. So, for example, I leverage every possible tool that I can at my disposal to facilitate a full recovery. My experiences may not parallel yours, but you can judge for yourself from trying through trial and error with these different things to get relief that, you know, that's what you need to do. So I approached it with the attitude that I was going to try anything that might help me, and some things were definitely more helpful than others. Now, energy healing itself is a holistic practice that activates subtle energy systems that to remove blocks, maybe, to help quiet your mind, and to calm your body. It can also help remove trauma from the body, reinforce your parasympathetic nervous system, the one that calms everything down, restore balance and grounding, and sever these soul ties, these energetic symbiotic connections to the narcissist. You know, there's a whole field of experience outside of what is concrete and what we know and see. There is energy. It is real. There is like psychic connections between people and all kinds of, it's just a matter of tuning in to the vibrational frequency that you need to tune into. Remember those old radios that you turn the knob? That shows you how old I am, because I remember having a car when I was growing up that had the radio. You had to turn the little knob to get to, you couldn't, and then when they got the cars where you pushed the button, you pushed the little button to get to the right channel. That was awesome. I love pushing those buttons. I thought that was really progress. Now you don't have knobs or buttons. Maybe the world would be a better place if we had the knobs and buttons, but we don't. Anyway, you turn the knob and tune in to the right vibrational frequency where you need to be. And there's high vibrations and low vibrations and everything in between. You have to get in touch with it and experience it and get someone to guide you through the awareness of that. So here's some things that you might want to think about. Number one, pranic healing, PRANIC, healing is like when you have deep emotional wounds, like those that result from abuse, personal loss, unresolved trauma, and all of that, they give rise to negative emotions and thoughts on the astral plane. There's such a thing, it's real. When we harbor such emotions, they come to life and become like emotional parasites that feed on our vitality and create energy locks within our pranic body. The pranic healer is this trained person who, like a massage therapist or an acupuncturist or whatever kind of healer, they have to do so many hours of training and practice before they get to be legitimate, like certified or whatever. Sometimes you can find schools where people are learning to do that, who will work on you and do it for free. I did that. I went to Integrative Health Medicine Center where they had the students who were there to practice on us, the people that were in distress. And, you know, some of them, you know, not so great, but others of them, wow, it was powerful and you could feel it, and it was very transformative experience that I highly would tell you. You know, it's for real. You feel energy, you know, the tingling and the and they pull things out of you. And they used to have to take me to another room in the back of the pranic healing place because I was so noisy when they would start pulling it out, and they cut it, you know, the things that they're trying to take out of you. And I would just wail and weep, and I could just feel it coming out of me through my mouth and through my pores and whatever. It was like pulling teeth only out of my, out of, you know, all this whole solar plexus region. Yeah, I was noisy, and I was so noisy they had to remove me, put me in a special padded room to get the procedure. But I went every day for about a year and a half. Not every day, every week, once a week for about a year and a half, and it really helped me. So I want to tell you about that. It can restore your health in the physical and the astral body. Secondly, I want to mention acupuncture. By treating areas on the body affected by trauma, acupuncture can help release the emotional pain that is being held in the body's tissues, helping you to process the feelings and memories, let them go, and move on. Acupuncture can do that. If you get a person who knows what they're doing, that's good at it, acupuncture can affect the autonomic nervous system and the prefrontal as well as the limbic brain structures, making it able to relieve the symptoms of PTSD, which is very common after narcissistic abuse. If you've been in it for long enough to really be deeply entrenched, that's very common. So number three, this is number three, cord cutting. Cord cutting and soul retrieval. When you have some kind of attachment to a person with NPD, an energetic cord can form between you. And when you cut those psychic cords, you have to be ready to embrace a change in your life. You're going to feel something missing, but nature always moves in to fill this void in your life. So you have to be prepared to accept something better. Okay, to accept something better. Sometimes we have to repeat this cord cutting, this psychic cord cutting, several times because it will keep coming back in order to be completely free of the energy that is draining us. We lose pieces of our soul through trauma, pain, and abuse. And at the time of the trauma, a piece of ourselves gets stuck in that time, and we lose part of our life force energy with that piece. So soul recovery is a process by which we regain those pieces of ourselves that have been lost. And do I believe this? Yes. Does it conflict with my Christian beliefs? No. I pray to God and depend on, I surrender to His will. And every day I pray that God is going to come into my life and direct me where I need to go, give me the tools I need to have to be able to be free of this and to be fully recovered and all of that. And so, yes, this is like, a tool to use to help facilitate that. So number four, Reiki and therapeutic massage. Reiki is going to help clear out the traumatic energy stored in your body, but like most healing work, the effectiveness depends upon the person giving the treatment. Here again, some people are more gifted than others with their ability to do this on a spiritual and etheric level. Their search for narcissistic supply feeds off of the target's energy body and universal life force. As this abuse continues, the victim can feel their energy and vitality draining away. This is where Reiki training is hugely beneficial. The student of Reiki can rebuild their spiritual energy systems with daily self-healing. This daily self-healing strengthens, heals, and protects the energy system. Once the life force has been restored, the student of Reiki will find themselves in the flow and their vitality levels will rise. I want to toss something in there with that sacral cranial massage. It's like Reiki. I want to say that. Don't be mad at me if that's not quite right, but it seems right to me from my experience, from conversations, and from actually having it done to me multiple times. Cranial, sacral massage, and Reiki are kind of in the same category and do the same thing. So I'm just going to say it. I hope that that is like there's not somebody who's like, no, they're not the same. Well, they're not the same, but they're similar. I think that that's right. The last thing I want to talk about is alchemy. The alchemy of trauma offers an embodied approach to healing that gently weaves elements of the mind and body, nurturing resilience as we awaken our inner light. Simplified, another way of saying that is that alchemy is the ability to change one's emotional state simply by choosing to do so. Alchemy is a vision statement, the ability to create a future out of a thought and believing in the vision, making it a reality. Sort of here again, like manifesting. I don't want to go off on that because, like, if I wanted to manifest $1 million or if I wanted to manifest right now a really hot 40-something-year-old hottie to entertain me for a while, you know, I don't think they're just going to show up and knock on the door here, like, you know, ordering Uber Eats or something. I don't think that's how that works. And the manifesting people out there will say, oh yeah, you know, you can, I don't know. I think that could be part of what helps people, but it certainly has its limits. Alchemy is, it is an anchoring and rooting in the frequency of harmonious alignment, joy, peace, and right, it spans throughout time. It's a oneness. It's a oneness with the universe. And you, when you are going with the flow, with the oneness, you're part of everything. You're not alone. And everything is shared and felt by all. I know that happened to me. I'll just give you an example of kind of what I'm talking about. When 9/11 happened, maybe some of you weren't even alive then. But I was, and I woke up wide awake, which was never happens, at the same time that the planes took off that went into the World Trade Center. Wide awake. And I had a sense of foreboding, a sense of something is wrong, something is bad, something is not right. This is something that's happening. And I thought maybe I had some kind of something had happened to one of my kids or something had happened to somebody that, you know, was a friend of mine or whatever. And, you know, I had gone all the way to school where I was teaching when a student came in and said, you know, we're being attacked, turn the TV on and all this crazy stuff. And it showed the planes, you know, we could watch what was happening there with what happened with 9/11. And there was kind of a collective feeling of loss all at the same time when the buildings came down, when the planes hit. With each wave of that, I feel like we all felt it in some way. I know that I did. It felt like such a universal loss of life all at one time that it just took your breath away and then just sat on your chest in a very heavy like, oh my gosh, what is this? And what it was all of those lives being extinguished at once. People that were tuned in to any kind of vibrational resonance felt it on a physical and emotional, soulful, spiritual level. They felt it in their body. Yeah, I could go into that more, but I think alchemy deals with that a little bit. And I think it takes a combination from all of these different things to heal from the trauma that you have experienced in a relationship with a person with narcissistic personality disorder. I don't think one therapy works by itself. I think you have to try them all and see what works for you and put together a program for yourself that's going to be effective for you. Something that might work for me might not work for you, and so and vice versa. So, through trial and error, go ahead and try them all. And if they help you, keep doing it. And if they don't help you, then don't. And for all of you who are not recovering from narcissistic abuse, maybe you know someone who is, or maybe you're a mental health worker. I think we all need to know this stuff. I think we all need to understand what narcissism is. I think there needs to be an awareness and an enlightenment. We live in precarious times. There is hardship ahead. I think it's going to get bumpy. This is the summer of 2022, and there are a lot of things that are not right with this world and with this universe. And the rise in narcissism is one of the symptoms of this sickness in this world. And there is a rise. It is increasing, and it is a sickness, and it's a manifestation. Back to that word again. Narcissism is a manifestation of the sickness that exists in this world. So I think it's super important to do whatever you can do to be aware of this and to help each other. We have to help each other to get through this, right? That's the only way we're all going to survive, and we're going to have to do some things differently because what we've been doing has led us to this place where things aren't working out very well, and it's time for a change. And change is hard. There's birthing pains, and there's a lot of risk here. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of ways things could go sideways and end up very tragically bad. So let's try to be aware of of what we need and what other people need, and respect that and help each other. And that's my message for today, NARC troopers. I just want to tag this at the end. I just moved, and hence no makeup. I can't even find some of my stuff. Like my electric toothbrush is missing, and some other things that just didn't make the journey. I moved cross country 1800 miles last week. But I'm in a new and fresh place. I feel different energy. I feel different awareness, a different vibration here in this place. I've prayed about it, and I feel that God wants me here. And I think that we have to find the place where we can heal the best. And I hope that y'all all can do that. So, and be in touch with yourselves. And if you're not in recovery, then learn as much as you can about this to help those who are. That's what you need to do. Learn as much as you can to help the people who are trying to recover from narcissistic abuse because, whew, it's a doozy and they need your help and understanding. Okay, so that's it for tonight. Peace out, everybody. Bye.